This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح لا إله إلا الله
لا إله إلا الله لا شريك له الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا والحمد لله الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد والحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلام عليه عباد الله قال الله تعالى في الكتاب المبين بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فلما ترى الجمعان قال أصحاب موسى إنا لمدركون قال كلا إن معي ربي سيهدين. وبعد. The month of Muharram is the first month of the Islamic lunar calendar. And more importantly, it is one of the sacred months, one of the four sacred months that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has deemed as sanctified, meaning that it is a month in which every person should focus on devoting themselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just that much more. This month has many events in it that are significant for the Muslims. And today in the khutbah, we're going to speak about one in particular, and that is really the foundational event that defined the significance of not just the month of Muharram, but also the day of Ashura. The Prophet ﷺ, when he arrived in Medina, was not the only group. The Muslims were not the only group in Medina at the time. Medina was actually a relatively pluralist society, meaning that there were other traditions there, there were other tribes, and those tribes had different religious beliefs and backgrounds. From amongst them were some of the tribes from the Jewish community. The Prophet ﷺ had a civil and a good relationship as the leader of Medina and as the manager of peace in the area. The Prophet ﷺ was the leader of that designated region, and those tribes, they agreed and they submitted to be under his leadership for the time that they had determined until later events. In the moments where the Prophet ﷺ had this amicable relationship, they would obviously be observant of one another. And there are some narrations that even talk about how the Prophet ﷺ engaged with them in their legal disputes and advised them to go back to their tradition to solve their legal disputes amongst each other. But one of the events that is very interesting comes to us in Sahih Muslim, where the Prophet ﷺ, it's told to us by Ibn Abbas, that the Prophet ﷺ, أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قدم المدينة فوجد اليهود صياما يوم عشورا. He came and he noticed that on the 10th of the month of Muharram, that this tribe, these Jewish people, would engage in the act of fasting. Now this was actually before the month of Ramadan, so the Muslims didn't have any particular analogy to go off of. Of course, fasting was always encouraged, right, as Allah Ta'ala says, كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ, that they were aware that fasting was a devotion. But it wasn't as if the Muslims had the rhythm of Ramadan to identify that this is fasting and we do this too. So the Prophet ﷺ, فَقَالَ لَهُمْ, he says, مَا هَذَا الْيَوْمَ الَّذِي تُصُومُونَهُ, that what is this day to you that you're engaging in this act of worship that you don't do normally? Fasting is a special deed. فَقَالُوا هَذَا يَوْمُ عَظِيمٌ, they said, this is a day that is very special to us. This is a great day. And it's almost, you can hear in the tone, they're about to explain something incredible. They said, أَنْجَى اللَّهُ فِيهِ مُوسَى وَقَوْمَهُ, that on this day in our history, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he saved Musa and his people, i.e. our ancestors, they're saying, وَغَرَّقَ فِرْعَوْنَ وَقَوْمَهُ, and he destroyed by the act of drowning Fir'aun and the army that were pursuing them. فَصَامَهُ مُوسَى شُكْرًا, and so Musa himself, as a commemoration for this event, he began the act of fasting every year on the day of Ashura in Muharram to thank Allah for that incredible salvation that he gave them. فَنَحْنُ نَسُومُهُ, and at the same time, As an ode to Musa, following his sunnah, we also fast it as well. So the Jewish tribe here is telling the Prophet ﷺ and is sort of giving an explanation as to why they do this action. Now we're going to pause here for a second. Now we believe as Muslims, of course, that Islam is complete. The Quran, the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, there's nothing that we need spiritually outside of our tradition, meaning we don't need to look at other religious traditions and say, hey, that's pretty interesting, or hey, that looks pretty cool, we should try that, we should add that. In fact, there are other examples where the Prophet ﷺ, when the companions would try to bring in certain elements, not out of any ill intention, but out of practicality, the Prophet ﷺ would redirect them towards the elements that we had within our own tradition. But the Prophet ﷺ here, he identifies something and he says something very powerful. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ He says, فَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ وَأَوْلَى بِمُوسَى He says, that's interesting that you guys are doing this because if you think about it, you're the tribe that eventually deviated away from the path of Musa alayhi salam. Musa alayhi salam came, he delivered the message, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sometime later sent Isa, and you rejected him. And if you really want to follow the Anbiya, the prophets of Allah, you don't pick and choose who you follow. You don't say, you know, we're going to follow him because he's better than this prophet. No. لَا نُفَرَّكْ بَيْنَ أَحْدٍ مِّن رُسْلِي Allah Ta'ala says, we do not determine and distinguish, oh, who is better than who. No, we accept them all as Anbiya. They're all prophets of God. So the Prophet ﷺ here, he's identifying a little bit of their double standard, their hypocrisy. And he's saying, religion is not for you to pick and choose who you want to follow. And so he says, as a result of this, his analysis, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, instantly drives him to this statement, which is what? فَنَحْنُ أَحَقُّ وَأَوْلَى بِمُوسَى Interesting that you do this because we actually stayed on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We actually followed not only Musa, but also Isa, and the believers of the Prophet follow him as well. So he's not saying this out of boasting. He's not saying we're more deserving and we are more, Musa belongs to us more. It's not about grandstanding one another and trying to boast and flex on one another. No, he's just making a simple statement of truth. And he's saying that, well, interestingly enough, we're the ones that are on this path as it stands. And then he says, فَصَامَهُ Ibn Abbas, he narrates, he says, so the Prophet ﷺ, he himself fasted this day, وَأَمَرَ بِصِيَامِهِ And he commanded us to fast this day. Now this was all again before the month of Ramadan, but this is a hadith that gives us the historical context of the power of this day of Ashura in this month of Muharram. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the story of Musa, he gave and granted Prophet Musa a very special kind of liberation. A very special kind of liberation. You know, Fir'aun was such a tyrant. Fir'aun was such an oppressor, such an evil person, that his name and his status and symbol became an archetype throughout history for evil and oppression. The Prophet ﷺ, in a later narration, he says, every nation has a pharaoh, and even us, we have our pharaoh, right? And he identified the pharaohs of his nation. So the Prophet ﷺ, he identified that this person is so evil that, of course, the liberation from this tyranny is something very unique and special. And so we as Muslims, whenever this day comes about every year, inshallah, it's coming up on Tuesday, as the calendar says, whenever this day comes around, we identify and we remember and go over some of the lessons from this day and what makes it particularly unique to us. Now Allah Ta'ala in the Quran, He actually details in summary the event itself. Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Musa, peace be upon him, the messenger in the fraternity of messengers that we follow, he was the prophet that was sent to the children of Israel. And his job was to deliver the message. Just like every other prophet had their ummah, this was his ummah. Now this ummah, similar to every other nation, had their fair share of troubles and difficulties. Just like the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ had persecution, had years of persecution, the ummah of Musa ﷺ also had years and years of persecution. Fir'aun was dead set on destroying not only Bani Israel, but also Prophet Musa. And his persecution, interestingly enough, began before even he was born. Fir'aun had a dream, as the narration tells us, that his demise and his downfall would eventually come from one of the children of this nation, one of the boys. And so he put out an edict to every other year to execute the young boys that were born in Egypt in that year, so as to protect himself from this prophecy. He only did every other year, the narration says, because he still needed this workforce, this slave workforce, to build and to increase his empire. And that's why his brother Harun lived. He was in a different year, and Musa was in a year which coincided with the edict, the order. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam was in a very difficult place before he even was able to take his first breath outside of the womb of his mother. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran that He sent a revelation. He inspired the mother of Musa that when he was born, and as she's panicking and as she's concerned about the future of her child, we inspired, Allah Ta'ala says, to put Musa into a basket. After you nurse him and you take care of him, place him in a basket and put that basket in the river. Now I want you guys to think for a second about what we hear the story, and so we've already processed that this is okay, we know, because we know the ending, right? When you know the ending, it's hard to emotionally connect. But imagine for a second that you were told to do this. Imagine that you were told. Many of us, you know, can't even leave something much less valuable than our children out of our sight for even a small while. You get a brand new this or that, you buy a car, you get some clothes, and you're like staring at it. You go back and make sure it's okay. You look at it, you check it, because you want to make sure that you take care of it. Now imagine that you've gone through 9 months of bearing a pregnancy of a child, and this is a very special child, and you have to follow the command and the revelation of God to place this child into a basket and place this basket in the water. This is something that is truly miraculous. But subhanAllah, what we find here is that when a person submits to Allah, despite all of their math and all the process that their mind does, when their heart submits to Allah, that's the moment when Allah gives them miracles. Many of us become an obstruction to the miracles that Allah Ta'ala has waiting for us. We're too busy mathematically trying to figure out exactly how we're going to get what we need. And in that process of trying to mathematically figure things out, we miss out on the beauty of submission, the art of letting Allah take care of the situation. Ibn Atta'illah has a beautiful statement where he says, "Arih nafsaka min at-tadbir." He says, rest yourself from the over-meticulous planning. Because he says, why would you put it upon yourself to take care of a situation that someone much better than you has already taken care of? Many of us were so concerned about the ins and outs and the details, the nuts and bolts of our lives. All we are told to do by Allah is what we can. And beyond that, we leave it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the mother of Musa has done what she can. Notice Allah says, nurse him. And then at that point, once you're done nursing and you fear for him, place him in this basket. But then Allah ta'ala, he makes a promise. He says that we will return him to you. We will bring him back to you and we will make him one of the messengers. This is the optimism that we are supposed to have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, no matter what evil or what darkness we are up against, the believer is different than everybody else in that we always end the story with a happy ending. We always do that, even if we don't know what it is. Notice, by the way, Allah does not give the details of how Musa is going to be returned. Notice Allah ta'ala does not give the details of when. There's no specifics. All Allah ta'ala says to her or reveals to her is what? You will see your son again. And he's going to be in a much elevated maqam and status than he is now. Many of us, again, we obstruct these miracles from happening because we want to know exactly when, how, what it's going to look like. And please give me the ETA on that. That's not how our du'as, that's not how Allah's provision works. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us those who trust Him. And so Allah Ta'ala continues and He says, it happened to be the case that the people of Fir'aun, when they see this basket floating down the river, it flows towards the palace of Fir'aun. They pick up the basket and without realizing it, they take in this young boy because the sight of Musa softened the heart of the wife of Fir'aun, and she said, can we please keep him? And the story goes on that Musa was then taken in. They tried to find somebody that could feed him, that could nurse him. They went and looked in the city for mothers who were nursing. They ended up finding his mother. Somehow, some way, this baby prefers this mother. Okay, you can nurse him. And that's one of the ways in which Allah Ta'ala returned Musa to his mother. But to go to a different point in the story, to identify just the length of difficulty that Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam had to go through. We fast forward now 4, 5, 6 decades, subhanAllah. His life started with difficulty and it continued throughout his journey. It kept going and going. But I want to take us, for the purpose of time, to the end of this journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shu'ara, He says, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَى. He says, we revealed to Musa and we told him that an asri bi'ibadi innakum muttabi'un. You need to leave now with all of my servants, with your nation, because you are being followed. You're going to be persecuted and pursued. Pause here for a second. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give Musa alayhi salam all of the details. He just told him, you have to go. You have to trust me. You have to leave. We'd create the analogy with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. when he has to make hijrah, when he has to leave from Mecca to Medina. He's not given the exact details of why he has to leave or when. All he's told is that now is your time to make your migration. The way that trust works with Allah is that it does not need every single detail to be said. Allah Ta'ala continues and he says, Fir'aun, in that moment where Musa is preparing his people to leave and they start to leave, this community of people, Fir'aun gathers his army and he mobilizes them and he takes them to all the different cities. The number difference is very tangible here. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala informs us that Fir'aun's power is seemingly much greater than the power of Musa if you're to measure it based off people alone. Fir'aun is walking around and he's mobilizing armies of people with weapons and shields and all types of artillery. Musa is going with a community of people that includes young and old, people who are able and people who are less able. If you've ever traveled, you know, I was talking to somebody recently and they were talking about, man, traveling by yourself and traveling with your kids is a totally different traveling experience. And they said, when you travel by yourself, you get to the airport maybe 45 minutes to an hour. When you have kids, you have to get there 5 hours before. And they were talking about, this is the exact same analogy. Musa alayhi salam by himself can easily make his way away, but he's responsible. And sometimes when you're responsible, that responsibility demands that you handle it with that prophetic grace. He didn't just tell his people, look, every person for themselves, right? Every prophet for themselves. They're like, you're the only prophet. He says, no, I got to take you with me. You're my responsibility. You don't shed responsibility in times of difficulty. You embrace it. Prophet Musa alayhi salam takes his people. This is the command of Allah. And they're moving slowly. And as they're moving, Fir'aun's army is catching up. And they're sweeping through the territory. And they're looking for these people to capture them. And in the next ayah, Fir'aun's army even identifies them and says that these people are a small number. And they're almost hyping themselves up, saying that we'll have this. We're easily going to take care of this. You can feel the arrogance that they had against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala, when he describes this though, he says, in their arrogance and in their power, in their drunkenness, he says, فَأَخْرَجْنَاهُمْ مِنْ جَنَّاتٍ وَعِيُونَ. He says, we are the ones who took them out from their gardens and from their springs. Meaning that they thought that they were going to accomplish a new empire. They thought they were going to establish more dominance. They thought they were going to expand what they already controlled. Allah Ta'ala said, no, this was the beginning of the end. You know, brothers and sisters, it's been seemingly forever that we've been witnessing the crimes happening to our brothers and sisters in Gaza. And there comes a time when you see the pictures and the videos and hear the stories over and over and over again. And you see the impunity with which oppressors behave. Just last week or so, we came upon the anniversary of Srebrenica, where the Bosnian Muslims were massacred, the genocide against the Bosnian Muslims. You're seeing in Sudan, you're seeing across the world. Why is it the case that oppressors seem to always be on the up, always on the rise, never ever having any sort of difficulty? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here gives us a little bit of a sneak peek. When the oppressor thinks that they are at the climax of their growth, that is the beginning of the end. And this is detailed through the story of Fir'aun. He thought, we're just going to leave our beautiful palace and mansion and garden. We're going to go take care of these people really quickly and we'll be right back. And we're going to inherit all of their land and their gardens and their springs as well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knew more than they knew, of course. Allah is the all-knowing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he then continues, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but there's a point, subhanAllah, where Allah tells us that the people of Bani Israel themselves had a little moment of weakness, had a little slip. They're following Prophet Musa the entire way, they're making it, and they come across and they come upon the Red Sea. And this is seemingly the end of the journey. I want you to imagine, they look behind themselves and they see the army. They look in front of themselves and they see the water. And they say, فَلَمَّا تَرَى الْجَمَعَانِ قَالَ أَصْحَابُ مُوسَى إِنَّا لَمُدْرَكُونَ. As soon as they looked and they saw the scenario and they did the math, they said, this is it. We're done. Again, trying to solve spiritual questions with mathematical answers. What's going to happen now? And they look at Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam and they say, this is it. This is the end. Everyone say your prayers. And it's at that moment, subhanAllah, it's at that moment that Prophet Musa alayhi salam, and again, I want you to feel the pressure of all the doubt that the people he's in charge of are projecting onto him. Every person who's in charge of something has always faced the doubt of the collective. Do you know where we're going? Do you know what we're doing? Do you know where we're going to eat? Do you know this or that? Do you know when the power is coming back? Do you know when this is going to happen? And you don't just feel the situation, but you feel people turning on you. You feel that sense. And sometimes it's even those that you've never ever had to worry about them turning on you. It's at those moments where you have to dig deep and see, who do you trust beyond yourself? Musa doesn't say, guys, I know the answer. He doesn't say, look, I'm a prophet. It's going to be fine. Who does he point back to? قَالَ كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعْيَ رَبِّي. He says, no, you failed. You made a mistake, huge mistake, because you forgot that Allah is with me. Not me. It's not about me being in charge. It's about the one who's in charge of me being with us. سَيَهْدِينِي. He's going to give me a way. Again, the way is unknown. He doesn't say, hint, right? I'm going to do a spoiler alert. My staff in that water, just wait. By the way, he's used the staff before. Allah Ta'ala told him to strike the stone. And so he knows that this staff, and I mean, you know, at the point of desperation, you try anything. So you could argue mentally that he's a prophet, he's done this before, maybe he takes a staff and tries to do something, Allah knows best. But instead of even taking an atom's weight of credit on how to solve this problem, who does he say is going to solve the problem? Allah. This is just a reminder, again and again, Allah gives us stories so many times that the moment you put the pressure on yourself and the moment you think the solution is going to come from within, that's the beginning of the end for your solution. But the moment that you commit to understanding that Allah is the one who will provide the solution and He will give you the way out, that's the beginning of the solution itself. And at that moment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوَحَيْنَا إِلَى مُوسَىٰ And اضرب بعصاك البحر. We told Musa, we revealed to him, we inspired him, take your staff and strike the sea. If anyone has stood on the coast of an ocean or a sea, I mean, I want you to imagine again, he's not carrying like a staff that's 100 yards long and there's like a visual effect. You guys know the sticks that your kids pick up and carry in the park? It's like 3-4 feet tall. Take this staff and strike this massive body of water. Again, a moment where things could have gone south for trust in Allah. Really? Like this is going to solve it? Like this is the solution? He takes the stick and he strikes the bahr. Allah Ta'ala then says, فَانْفَلَقَ. At that moment, the sea was split. There was no buildup. There was no loading. There was no buffering. Everything was instant. As soon as he struck it, the sea was split. And at that moment, it was like two giant walls of water, and the path in front of them was as dry as sand. Allah Ta'ala had separated the particles of water from the dirt, and the path to freedom was clear for them. And Musa alayhi salam looks at his people, and he says, let's go. They walk through, and after they go through, Fir'aun and his army catch up. And at that point, one of the narrations tells us that Fir'aun was actually telling his army, because again, what does every oppressor or tyrant end up experiencing? They end up realizing their own delusion and their own lies. His army is questioning him, saying, you didn't tell us he could do that. You didn't tell us this was going to happen. And he goes, no, this is me. I made it happen. I made it happen. I'm the one in control. أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَىٰ. Come on, let's go. Because they had a hesitation. Once they saw the power of Allah, like anybody would, their hearts trembled. And Fir'aun eventually, with his arrogance, with his oppressive intoxication, with his tyranny, he dragged himself and his army to their ends. They walked in. As soon as the people of Israel and Musa were out, and they were in, the walls collapsed, and Allah Ta'ala drowned all of them in that moment. What's interesting, subhanAllah, about this story is that the day of Ashura is a day that carries so much significance in our tradition. Even beyond this, after the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is the tragedy of the assassination and the killing of al-Husayn radiyallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at Karbala. And this is a tragedy that weighs heavy on the heart of every Muslim. If you love the Prophet of Allah and his family, this weighs very heavily to know that this happened on the day of Ashura as well. But we look back at history and we understand that Allah's design and His strategy is not pointless, is not purposeless. Allah demonstrated moments of oppression and salvation on this day because oppression and salvation are themes of life eternal. We see oppression today. The test that we all are struggling with right now, and you don't have to admit it because it's tough. But when you see the oppression happening to the ummah today, the test that every heart feels is, where is the salvation, Ya Allah? Where is the salvation? When is enough enough? Khabbab, the companion of the Prophet radiallahu anhu, said, Ya Rasulullah, where is the help of Allah? Even a companion would ask the Prophet of Allah, where is the help? Is this just going to keep happening over and over and over again? But the day of Ashura reminds us that there's a process to the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a process, there's a submission, there's a trust that must be experienced and must be felt. And in order for the miracle to become manifest, we all have to submit to the trust of Allah. We cannot think that we are doomed like the people behind Musa did. We have to say what? Even as bleak and as dark as the situation looks right in front of me, more missiles, more artillery, more tanks, more funding, presidential candidates both supporting. It seems like there's no hope. We have to say what? Inna ma'i Rabbi. Our Lord is with us. Sayyidin. He will guide us to the solution. And when we are there, we will look back and we will, just like Bani Israel, when they looked back after they walked through the split waters and they saw the drowning of their oppressors, they said, we should have never ever lost faith in Allah for one second. We ask Allah Ta'ala to give us strong faith. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make us those who reflect and those who understand. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ وَلِسَائِلِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ وَالْمُسْلِمَاتِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, this khutbah was just a short summary of the virtues of this special day. Inshallah, like I said, next Tuesday is the day of Ashura and is the day in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he advised, just like the sunnah of Musa was established, and he himself, alayhi wasallam, followed that sunnah of his brother in prophethood. He advised that the believers fast on the day of Ashura, as well as, if they can, the day before and or the day after. And he said that for those who are able to fast this day and the day before or the day after, whatever they can from those 3 days, that the promise of Allah is that they will be forgiven from their sins from the previous year. And so this Tuesday, inshallah, as a community here, we're going to be hosting a small iftar at the time of Maghrib, inshallah, as well as some conversation and some reflections on the virtues of the day of Ashura, inshallah, at the time of Maghrib, to again really understand our heritage, our tradition. Many of us, these days, they come and go. Arafah, Ashura, etc. They come and go, and we're not familiar with them as we should be. But these are the inspirational moments in our history, in our timeline, to give us that connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we otherwise lose. So we ask Allah ta'ala to accept from us and please join us on that day. We ask Allah ta'ala to uplift the oppression from those who are experiencing it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give salvation and to give His mercy to those who are seeking it. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless those in this gathering. We ask Allah ta'ala to forgive all of us and those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give shifa to those who are sick and to give His cure to those who are suffering. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give barakah to those who are seeking it in the rizq. We ask Allah ta'ala to protect all of us from harm that is from within us and that from outside of us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to follow the example of His blessed Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inna Allaha wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. أقيم الصلاة. Are there wheels or no? Okay. No, it's just
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Straighten your rows, inshallah, and fills the gaps as much as you can. And pray this as if it's your last prayer. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, Malik Yawmiddin. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ويتجنبها الأشقى الذي يصلى النار الكبرى ثم لا يموت فيها ولا يحيا قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى. الله سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جمعة مباركة. May Allah Ta'ala accept from all of us and give us, inshallah, the ability to be steadfast in this new year, in this first month of Muharram in the new year. Ya Rab. We have a dua request for one of our community members' relatives. His name is Dr. Munir Chima. He passed away. May Allah Ta'ala give him his rahmah and his forgiveness. May Allah Ta'ala elevate